First, let's read together from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, selected passages, and then we'll pray together. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Now let's skip down to verse 22. "And I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And the lamp and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the lamp, the light of a lamp, or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Let's pray. Lord, our worship is to you this morning, and we feel like we're in your presence this morning. That's what makes us so glad and so overjoyed when we consider your great promises, your love, your desire for us. It's only a small part of what we could feel. Lord, we long to be with you forever. We long that these promises would be ours in the reality. Whatever concept we might have of heaven, help us to multiply it this morning so that it produces a joy in our hearts, a motivation in our soul, in our minds, and in our innermost being, Lord. May this be our ever-present hope that we will live with Christ and with you forever and ever to serve and worship you. And now I invite the whole church to say together with me, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I get started on this, I'd like to do a little exercise with you this morning. An exercise that one counselor that I knew at my previous church, you might guess who that counselor might be, did a seminar for our church. And she was talking about anxiety and some of the pain that people have in life. Now, that would be you and me, right? We all have pains and anxieties. And this counselor mentioned, well, she said, "I want you to think of a place now. I want you to think of a place where you had perfect peace, you had rest, where you had joy. Where would that be?" I want that to come into your minds as an exercise right now. And then I want you to take your fingers like this and put them together. Now, I'm not sure why that is, but I think it's to help us focus a little bit. And then close your eyes, and I want your mind to go to that place. Now, as you close your eyes and you think about your place, I can't know where that place is, but I can tell you where my place is. My place is in Florida. We went there on a vacation when Jonathan was about, maybe 8th grade, 7th grade. And it was a great vacation time. We rented a little house at Saratoga. And I remember walking on the beach, and I remember the peace that we had, and as a family, swimming in the ocean. I remember Elaine cooking those great meals. I remember us eating those great meals. I remember just the fun and the relaxation that we had, and I've never really wanted to live in Florida, but I've always wanted a vacation there. So, that's what I'm thinking of when you see me do that. Well, I think sometimes when we think of heaven, the scriptures that we've read, we think of funerals. And maybe we get a little depressed or a little sad because we've lost loved ones. And so those scriptures relate to the loss. I hope when we finish this lesson this morning, when you think of heaven, maybe sometime you could be doing like this. Closing your eyes, maybe it'll be one of those funerals that you'll be thinking like that. I hope that's the case. You see, I think heaven is a grand and glorious vision that God wanted us to have, and that's why it's here in the book of Revelation. I want us to talk a little bit about heaven itself as you look through these you read. We didn't read all of the verses, but one of the things that we see about heaven is that it is a precious city. We didn't read those parts there, but if you go through chapter 21, you see that there are, what do we know most about heaven? Streets of gold. You read about all kinds of jewels, pearls on the gates, jasper, sapphire, other precious jewels. Now, why do you think God wanted this there? You know, there's people here on this earth that give their life for gold and silver and all these precious metals. There's people that devote years of their life. The intensity of their effort is on attaining this type of these precious metals. And God says all the streets are of gold. What does that tell you? The preciousness is there as a mundane expectancy every day. I mean, so if you've been seeking here in this world, just know that heaven is precious just by that. It's something that certainly ought to be thought of. Secondly, it's a protected city. It's got gates. But this is not a city that needs to have those gates closed at all times. It's a gate where the gates are open because they are protected by God and by His forces. There's no need to worry or to have anxieties. But I think probably one of the most important things, it's a protracted city. Now, I use that word protracted. It's not used very often, but it means long. You know, if you have a protracted gospel meeting like they used to have, that means You go a long time, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We don't do that anymore. Well, here in this sense, this city is 1,500 miles a cube. How many people could fit in that? Now, I'm not much of a driver, but when I go to Nashville, it's about 70 miles. If we had one city going between here and Nashville, we could fit a lot of people in here, couldn't we? 1,500 miles, that'd probably take us to California, wouldn't it, Dennis? Close to it? So if we had that much space going that far and a cube going up 1,500 feet, there'd be plenty of space for everybody, wouldn't there? You know, there's a picture over in the house, a picture that says, it's quoting John 14 about the many rooms in the house. But I almost brought that picture this morning from the Botts house. Because, you know, somehow this idea of there being many rooms just doesn't cut it. I still like the old King James Version where it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. What does that tell you? It's going to be a place that you're going to be jumping up and down about. I don't know what kind of stuff you're going to have in heaven, but it's going to be a great place to be, right? Now, I'm kind of using that song, you know, heaven is a wonderful place, full of glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. The reason I'm using that is because I think what we're saying here is that heaven is a wonderful place. And if you want to fix on streets of gold, and if you want to fix on all the jewels and things, if you want to be that literalist that believes that, The book of Revelation is giving us a vision of what heaven might be like. And I think it's saying to us, it's simply a wonderful place. Secondly, part of that is that heaven is full of glory and grace. What do we mean by glory? The word glory means honor for one thing, but it also means splendor or light. And that's what people need in this world is light. And what's emphasized here in this book is that heaven doesn't need a sun, doesn't need the moon, doesn't need any kind of light. Why? Because it's filled with the glory of God. God is the lamp. The Lamb is the lamp of the city. And so it's full with God's glory. No darkness. Nothing needed. It's filled with grace. Now you tell me, what does grace mean to you? You like to have grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, grace is about healing, isn't it? It's about being saved. It's about being redeemed. It's about being transformed. All of those thoughts are words of grace. So when I hear about heaven being a place of grace, I mean, look at what he says there. Not going to be any more crying, no more death, no more mourning. All that's gone. Why? Because God's going to wipe away every tear. In fact, it even says in chapter 22, verse 4 and following, that there is a water of life, a stream of life. So if you're thirsty, what do? You drink of this water of life. And then there's the trees of life. What are trees for? Bearing fruit. And what's the fruit for? Healing. And so you're able to be healed and completely filled. That's why Jesus came, to show us the grace of God. And as John says, he heaped grace on top of grace. Well, guess what? When you get to heaven, folks, you ain't seen nothing yet. Sound like a pretty good vision? Amen. And that third person in that song, I want to see my Savior's face. You know, really, isn't that what heaven is about? About being there with those that you love? Sure, you're probably thinking about some moms and dads or maybe some grandparents and some of those that have gone on. But I think the most important thing is that you will see your Savior's face. Now, this woman over here that I've been married to, I love to see her face every day. And I have that privilege of seeing her. My son, I enjoy seeing his face. You're that way with your children, aren't you, Jane? Lori, you like to see their faces. Why? They're people we love. They're people we have a history with. They cause us to radiate. And so when we see our Savior's face, that's what heaven will be like. The church is the bride of Christ. Did you notice that? The bride coming down, adorned perfectly for her husband. Jesus is anxious to see us as we are to see Him. And so to see His face, and notice the names. Your names are written on the forehead. We won't need a t-shirt with names. I belong to Jesus. We won't need anything saying we belong to His church or His kingdom. Guess what? Right there on the head. That lets us know that you're not going to be able to get away by changing your shirt or something like that. And His servants will serve Him. That's chapter 22, verse 3. His servants will serve. Now, what kind of service will we be given? What kind of service will we do in heaven? I don't know. But I know this, we will gladly serve, won't we? I think probably when we have a church get together, like the one over there the other night, there's ladies that gladly serve to put that together. If you're teaching a class, you're willing to serve. If you're a servant and you have an attitude, you say, well, whatever needs to be done, I will willingly do that. You see, I think sometimes we think of heaven's just a place we're going to have a heavenly banquet, we're going to set up on clouds. No, I don't think so. Here's what I want you to think, is that whatever heaven is like, it will be a great place because God has designed it. I wonder if we'll be exploring the universe, God's creation. I wonder if we'll be much more involved in this universe. That's just some of my thoughts. But whatever it is, it's letting us know that there will be something for us to do, and God considers us faithful servants. That'll be a wonderful place, won't it? Well, I want to bring us down to the earth now, because we're not in heaven yet. And I want us to think about some of the promises here. In John 14, 1 through 3, verses that are oftentimes read at those funeral occasions. But I want us to redeem those passages. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me, says Jesus. In my Father's house are many, and I'm going to change that, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Now, those are good words. Jesus wants to be with us. But I want you to especially hear his words in his prayer in John 17. That prayer where Jesus is praying just before he goes to the cross. Praying to God. And these are some of the most wonderful words in all of the Bible. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. And to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. Now, do you hear that? That prayer of Jesus? I can see him kneeling in the garden, weeping and praying and saying, Father, I want my servants, my friends, you, to be with me. And I want them to see my glory that you've given to me. You will participate in that. Won't that be a glorious thing? Now, I could have used another story about thinking about things. Maybe it's not quite as eventful as thinking about the Florida vacation that we had. But down through the years, I've always enjoyed going back to Mom and Pop Denman's homestead. They have an old trailer we call affectionately, their sons call the Hot Box. The reason is, it's so hot in that trailer. My dad was just so cheap, he wouldn't buy an air conditioner. So with three sons, went by and bought him an air conditioner because we couldn't live there without that air conditioner. And he'd only plug it in when we come to visit. And that's because he wanted us to visit. But I love that old house. My brother and my father bought 60 acres together, and there's a brook flowing down on that. They have some cattle. It's a wonderful place. I've got wonderful memories there. They did that when I was in college, but since that time, you know, I'd take my family there. That's where Elaine and I courted some of the time. And then we took Jonathan there. I mean, that's places where I've shot bow and arrows back on that place and done some hunting. And it's mostly about going there either with them or it's going there myself on occasions and being with family. Mom and Pop Denman, that you wouldn't know them, but they're some of the simplest people in the world. They didn't even have a television. They didn't have a telephone, which means there are no calls or anything. And they only had a television with one channel. And it only had one volume, and that was loud. So we didn't listen to much television, and we didn't hear any telephones. But you could get away for peace. And Mom and Pop Denman would always prepare for us coming. They'd want to know what John liked to eat. And so Mom would be cooking all kinds of things and tea cakes and all kinds of recipes, I could tell you. But for Elaine and me, it was a place to get away and just enjoy walking up and down the woods and, you know, just kind of being there. And I remember that. That's one of those places that you think about for peace. It's a prepared place. Mom and Pop Denman always enjoyed us. Now, I'll have to be honest with you. After about a week, I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. But that's the way I think we should feel. And maybe you feel that way about going to your parents' house or maybe it's an uncle's house or a friend's house. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm looking forward to your coming. Do you hear that? Jesus wants you to be in his house. That's exciting, isn't it? The last thing that I want to think is we have to live here on the earth. I don't know about you. We don't really talk about heaven that much, do we? Not really. But I think we should place it firmly in our hearts. Especially on a day like today when we know we don't speak about it enough. Let's look at Philippians 3, verse 20. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by His power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Our citizenship, where's your citizenship? Proud to be an American? Or maybe you come from another country, probably not here at Forest Mill, but in other congregations that are multiracial, we probably have people from all over the world in some of our bigger cities. Our citizenship is in heaven. Is that your primary allegiance? And there's that promise here that no matter what your bodies look like, whether you've abused them, you've overfed them, or maybe you're suffering, and you're getting older, what's it going to be like in heaven? What are our bodies going to be looking like? Well, look at this. They're going to be look like the glorified, resurrected body of Jesus Christ. I don't know what that means except that I am looking forward to that. How about you, Dan? Sounds good, doesn't it? You see, that's what I want us to think about more and more, placing it in our hearts. Like the song says, heaven is in our hearts. Now I want to close where we began, the book of Revelation. As you read the book of Revelation, you've got some of those early chapters that are very understandable. And you got some of these final chapters that give us a glimpse of heaven. They're kind of, but in between all of that, you got this lot of misery and trouble and toil. You got these exhortations to remain faithful unto death. And then you got these beasts coming out of heaven, out of the earth. And you got the beasts coming out of the earth. And you got all these plagues and so forth. It seems like, and we know this is true, it seems like in this world we're destined to have trouble, aren't we? We're destined to have pain. We're destined to have suffering. Our relationships are sometimes screwed up. Our lives, maybe no fault of our own, but just circumstances become a source of trouble. Maybe our health has difficulties. You see, that's where the book of Revelation is telling us. In heaven, everything's going to be new. Everything from your body to your soul. And God's going to come, wipe away every tear, and sort of hug you and say, this is the place where I have wanted you to be. It's not just a place that you want to go to. It's a place where the Savior has prepared for you to live with God forever and ever. Amen. Now, I think there's probably some people who are so happy here upon the earth, they wonder, how could I be happy in heaven? And maybe they wouldn't be. Or maybe there's some of you that have young children. You've got young children being born, and you want them to go to heaven. You just don't want to go today because you want their lives to be fulfilled here upon the earth. Is that your thinking? That used to be mine. But I think if you think about this, if you believe that God has the best thing prepared for you in heaven, know this, the same children that you love are in His will. And if He should come back now, you would understand that God has a better place and a better way prepared. So it's all right to say, we're heaven bound. It's all right to say, Jesus, come now. Don't wait 20 or 30 years when I've got kids or grandkids. Now would be a good time. How about that? Now would be a good time. Not just because we want to be there, but God wants us to be there. Well, it'll come soon enough at God's own pleasure. But as we close this lesson, as always, we give an invitation. And the invitation I want to give is the invitation that He closes the book of Revelation with. And that's this idea of come. You notice where He's inviting us to come? If you're thirsty and drink of this water without cost, and you hear Jesus saying come, and the Spirit saying come, and the bride, which is the church, are saying come. Whoever hears, say come. Whoever's thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take free of the water of life. Do you hear those words, come? What's He saying? Now's the time. Now's the time to receive the invitation. God's longing for you. Now's the time to get ready. People whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are the ones who are ready. If your name hasn't been written there, if you haven't believed in Jesus and obeyed Him, giving yourself to baptism in water and walking with the saints in the body of Christ, why not do that today? Let's stand and sing the invitation.